welcome to today's podcast, It's Worth Considering. Does it seem to you that the Christian life is a bit out of control? Well, if you think so, you're not alone. This short podcast is to help all of us consider the teachings of Christ, even in these confusing times. I'm Pastor David, the assistant pastor at Bethel Gilead Community Church, also known as the Church on Block Road. My co-hosts for this discussion are Matthew and Daniel Anderson. This is the third and final discussion on how we must, in keeping God's command, market the gospel. Now, this might seem a bit sacrilegious or at least unspiritual. Believe me, it is a conversation well worth having. As Christians, we need to meet people where they are at. This includes knowing how God has designed humankind and how best to present the good news of the gospel. We are to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. So the scriptures tell us, get ready to be challenged.
Being in marketing now for almost 25 years, I've had hundreds of clients. And I would say one pattern I've seen is that my clients who are the best people with the best motivations and who've really developed products that truly help people are almost always the ones that are most reluctant to market their product effectively.
Wow.
Because, you know, they just assume that a good product will sell itself. And that's not the case. I've seen some of them who, you know, ought to have made, you know, and helped millions of people end up going out of business because they just are reluctant to engage in marketing because they think it's manipulative. And I see the same tendency in the church sometimes, where we stay cloistered in our buildings and try to serve the needs of the community, but we're not willing to do what it takes to reach people in our culture. Every time I read the Gospels, it reminds me of the Pharisees who were critical of Jesus and the disciples for, engaging in conversation, even sharing meals with sinners. If you're not willing to go out and actually find people where they're at and communicate them to them in ways that they're going to hear it, I have to wonder if you're actually fulfilling the commands of the Great Commission.
Oh, very, very good point. And Matthew, I think I've always said the best way to evangelize is to evangelize your believers, meaning that if they're excited, then they're going to, if they're excited and they believe in what they have, that is probably the lion's share. And then you just give them the tools and help them to understand, you know, how to go out and do that. So let me...
Yeah, no, it makes a big difference.
Yeah. So your book, I didn't mention this, but your book, you've did a lot of research. This is not something you've just say, you know, 20 years or 25 years in the business, I'm going to write about something. But you've also done a lot of research to back up your views, correct?
Well, yeah. So I didn't ever intend to become a marketer. I was originally on a path to get involved in politics and go to law school. And a number of things intervened to kind of make me reconsider that. And, I had an experience where I took a business consulting job after a job offer was delayed, and that began the process of, God working on my heart to kind of show me that there were other ways and maybe more creative and helpful ways to use the ways he gifted me. But what that did, I often tell my clients, I've never taken a marketing class, and I hope to finish my career never having to taken a marketing class. But I was trained in debate and found that I was able to naturally use many of the tools and techniques that I learned in other ways, through studying psychology and philosophy and all those things, really solve marketing problems that other marketers couldn't. But one thing that happened is I apprenticed to a direct response copywriter for about 3 years, which is, a very particular school of marketing where you send out letters through the mail and now infomercials and online ads. And, you know, you have to figure out how to get people to open the letter and then read the letter they didn't want to read and ultimately write a check, in my case, to support political and religious causes. But then when I decided that I was going to pursue a marketing career, I ended up at an ad agency that typically was designed to create TV ads and beautiful brochures and nice logos and really tried to sell products through brand advertising. And what you need to know is that the direct response people believe the brand ads don't work, and the brand people believe the direct response stuff never works because no one reads any of those letters anyway. And I knew both of them were making millions of dollars for their clients, and so I had to find a way to reconcile it. And so I ended up reading hundreds of books in psychology and marketing and propaganda and, you know, all of those things, and really wrestled for a number of years to try to reconcile what are the fundamental principles that are in common between the different kinds of marketing. And so the system that I've developed and that is in this book really combines some of the key insights from both to what I think are kind of the fundamental ingredients that make marketing work and that allow you to solve those marketing problems quickly and effectively.
Well, interesting, because...
But so if you, you know, if you got a sense of some of the research there, you know, this was my attempt to really kind of dumb it all down and make it practical for people who really don't understand marketing at all.
Sure.
You know, I loved your practical thing on page 223 where you talked about the importance of humility and transparency, even to where you might admit your faults.
Yeah, yeah, that goes into, there's a chapter in there about your brand character and thinking about your brand or your image, your reputation, as if it were a fictional character, so to speak, and then, you know, ways you can harness the techniques that Hollywood has developed or novelists have developed to understand how stories work to really engineer a compelling character. And one of the six attributes that your brand needs to have in order for your audience to really feel loyal to it is some sort of fatal flaw that you've communicated to them. Because, you know, one of the ways that we know from psychology that we build relationships with people is one of the things that really cements those relationships and make you loyal to a person is moments of vulnerability.
Can I do that right now?
Yeah, go ahead, Daniel.
David, I'm bald.
Oh, I thought you were going to say I'm Catholic.
Oh, well, I think they got that one. Yeah, that's probably pretty fatal enough. But, I mean, if that's not enough, look, I'm vulnerable, I'm humble, I'm bald.
Well, and, okay. And there's a lot of people who can definitely relate to that, especially if they're mechanics working underneath a car. You know, they want to hit their head all the time. But, you know, you talked about humility and transparency. I think those are the two words you used, Dan. And that defines a Christian. We are humble, or we are hopefully to be humble, and we should be transparent about, you know, our flaws that we've had and the struggles that we continue to do. So we don't come across as, you know, self-righteous, which is so oftentimes, you know, the accusations against Christians. So,
yeah, we're trained that in a St. Paul Street Evangelization, that if somebody's got a question for you or, you know, an objection, and you really don't know what you're talking about, and you don't know exactly like how to respond, you know what, that could be a good opportunity in that you're saying, I don't know. You know what, though? I have a separate phone number, so I'll give that out. Here's my phone number. If you want to call, I'm going to look this up, or if you want to give me your phone number, great. And we can meet at a coffee shop or something, and we could talk about that. But, yeah, I don't have a good answer for you.
That's a good
point.
And
that, I think that's the kind of thing you're talking about, man.
Yeah, exactly.
How that is so important to have that honesty. And also, it takes away the fear that you have to have all the answers.
Yeah.
So oftentimes I was talking to my wife and we're, you know, the importance of small groups, and we're looking at a different product that'll help people to download and use media to run small groups. And she said, well, that's all fine and dandy. But the point comes is that people don't necessarily want to lead those because they're afraid others are going to ask questions they don't have the answers to. And so there's a sense, let's avoid it altogether, you know. So,
well, and that's why we have the Catechism of the Catholic Church.
What, to give you all the answers or what?
Yeah, yeah. So then you just look that up.
They got thousands of years. You got a question?
Just tell Phyllis for me, will you?
You have a question, we have the answer. Just let me go back 1,250 years.
So, but there is that sense of fear that we have to have all the answers. And when we realize we really don't, that's not, you know, we want to be as prepared as we can, but we just really need to get out there. So, hey, yeah. So Matthew, let me come back to here. Here we,
yeah.
If I was to look at my small church, about 135 people, we have about 180 who watch online, who, you know, and that doesn't mean they watch the entire thing. And we're kind of right. a rural community. We have about 50,000 people. We have a lot of farmers, but we have, you know, probably is considered a rust bucket if it was going to be as it's been defined before. And yet technology is available to us. What do you think some of the best practices we might do? We're online now. We broadcast our service online, you know, Facebook and YouTube, and then I do a morning devotions for 30 minutes, you know, which gets about 45, 50 people. But what can we do to really reach the community? Because I think what we have, our pastor, Jim Irwin, does a fantastic job for 26 years or so, being faithful and giving the message, and does so in a very practical way. What can we do to get that out there?
Well, that's a somewhat complex question because it implicates what you're trying to achieve, right? And the type of community that you want to be. So, you know, if we were to apply kind of a marketing mindset to it, there's really three things that your marketing message needs to do. It needs to grab the attention of your audience. It needs to persuade them in some ways or move their mindset forward. So if you thought about those levels of customer awareness, your message is often thinking about how do I graduate people from one stage of awareness to the other. And then it needs to call them to action. It needs to give them a way to engage. I talk about it in some ways as the fractal nature of marketing, you know, and a fractal is this geometric shape that kind of like a snowflake or the shoreline or a leaf, where each at each level of generality, it reflects the same sort of shape. There's a recursive process that produces the shape. What that means to me is that, you know, if you look at your overall marketing strategy, you can apply that thinking to it. So you're probably going to have some events or some tactics that you use in order to attract the attention of people who aren't currently part of your audience. You're going to have some parts of your message that are really about equipping and discipleship that really grow them in their faith. And you're also going to have some attributes or some parts of your message that are more offer oriented, that give people different ways to engage, from small groups to attending a service to attending an extra event, maybe a men's gathering or a women's gathering, or maybe you're doing some things in the community that require people to a call to action, or you're trying to get more people to volunteer and grow the community that way. Those are, you know, all things that might be more offer oriented. But if you think about it as fractal, every single thing that you do, whether it's every single sermon that you give or every single message that you teach or every single online Bible study, also has to have some sort of a hook that grabs people's attention and makes it interesting. It has to have some sort of a story where you're engaging the person's mindset and hopefully teaching them something new or moving them forward in faith. And then you also ideally would want to have some sort of an offer and something that they can do next that will keep them engaged. And if you have all of those elements in your message, whether it's your online Bible study or it's the sermon that you're broadcasting on Sundays, those are things that will start to grow your audience and deepen the community.
Okay.
Because you're giving people ways to continue to engage, and you're also maturing their faith and you're grabbing their attention.
Great. All right. So,
and all of that is bathed in faith.
Yeah, absolutely.
Understanding of Scripture. So again, the practical is spiritual.
Yeah. No, fantastic. I mean, I was quickly typing these things down and my, you know, ideas are just like, wow, absolutely, absolutely. And one of the things that we used to hear a lot about, you know, what is the vision? What is the vision for our church? What do we want to do? And how does this online piece fit to that vision. For example, you know, our vision is going to be our, let's say our vision is every member a minister. Okay, so our goal is that we want everybody who attends our church to be involved in a ministry of some sort. So if our we take that and we apply it to our online piece, our goal should be we want everybody who listens to us to be able to grow in your faith, kind of what you mentioned, to take them to the next level. But it's not necessarily for them to attend our church. We want to grow the gospel outside our four walls. We can't handle, unless we have a building program, and we don't want to go that direction. So we want to reach the people in Branch County, in our communities, to become ministers, to be engaged with their faith wherever they're at. And that means kind of like the Billy Graham thing. If you have accepted Christ, we want you to get involved in a church near you. It doesn't have to be our church, or we have online, you know, small groups where you can be engaged. This is what we can give you to get you started. So everything that you mentioned, I'm thinking these are checkpoints. We need to make sure that we have addressed each and every one of these things that you had mentioned.
And one thing I love to see what people do with their podcasts online is when maybe they have a moderator. So while you're giving your podcast, your mind is totally focused on what you're saying and what you're doing. You're not distracted by people's comments that are popping up here and there and sending you on all kinds of rabbit trails, right? So you're concentrating on what you're doing. You got the bulk of your message down. But maybe you had a moderator or yourself who then goes over comments that were being given as you were talking, so that then you can address people's questions and bring their engagement directly into your live podcast.
So Matthew, so when I listen to the explanation, a lot of these things I see as being the macro, what we can do in the large scale for our church. And then the micro is going to be, hey, what can the individual do here in my neighborhood? How can I take these marketing tools to help reach my neighbor across the street or down the road or who live on the lake as I do, but with intentions. I mean, purposely going out to do these things to be able to have opportunity to present the gospel. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And so, you know, if you're trying to equip the members of your community to do that, teaching them how to do that, maybe even giving them words to use, can be very effective. But then also, you know, you probably have to market the idea that they ought to be doing that. And, you know, have a series of messages that convict people in your community that they need to be sharing their faith with people who are near them. And, you know, if that's an important focus of your community, as I think it probably should be, that's probably a message that you need to reinforce several times a year. You never know which sermon is going to be the one that finally causes someone to take action. If you understand the tools of marketing, like we've been talking about, you can probably craft those messages in ways that are much more likely to actually convict people and get them to do the thing that, you know, they know they ought to do anyway. You have to appeal to their emotions. You have to give them, you know, tell stories that make them see the value of it and begin to own that vision as their own. And you also need to craft compelling calls to action that appeal to them emotionally, appeal to them rationally, really tap into their psychology to, get them to actually overcome the natural inertia we all have to do something different and step out in faith and, actually begin to share their faith and their spiritual commitments with the people next to them.
You know, so...
Yes.
Go ahead, Daniel. You have something to say?
I saw something I appreciated there that I watched your church online once, I remember. Maybe it was once when I was live there, I forget. But your Pastor Jim there had said, well, is there anybody have a testimony you'd like to share how the Lord has worked in your life this week? And somebody stood up and gave this beautiful testimony, you know, of what God was doing in their life that week. Won't bother giving any details, but that kind of thing, too, of inviting people to give testimonies, give their stories. I mean, I suppose that could be risky. Who's going to stand up and do what? But there's another effect, another effective tool I found. We went to Frankenmuth, you know, with your brother Jim and his wife and my wife and I and our grandkid. Anyway, it was just so effective, and it's one I think that you should recommend everybody doing at your church.
Go to Frankenmuth?
There. Yeah, he had a bullhorn, and he was explaining to everybody about how they're going to hell, and he was yelling that.
Oh, yeah, that's always
and
appealing.
I think it definitely got attention.
Not all attention is good, contrary to my friends in the public relations industry.
That is a tough one. I mean, yes, there are those. You really bring up a good point. There are going to be those, and you know, I watch a lot of the YouTubers online who do that, and they go to college campuses and they get an audience and they respond. What I often find to be kind of interesting is that I find that it turns off a lot of Christians. It's like, you know, I don't want to be associated with that. And if we and if what we're trying to do is to if what we're trying to do is to evangelize those who are already Christians, that tactic doesn't work so well. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
It almost defeats
right.
its purpose. I guess there's a place for it. I find it to be kind of interesting, and it's effective.
It depends on the spirit in which it's done.
Well, very good. I mean, hey, Matthew, I appreciate the time that you and Dan have given me. And really, this book, I started looking at it, but it is going to be a... definitely one I'm going to look into much more as I start planning in this next year how we're going to move things forward, because I'm reminded when I listen to a lot of the points in which you've made and that Dan has been good at bringing up that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, in the psychology of understanding how we are cannot be wasted. And not exploited, but definitely, you know, to understand it so we can use it to reach people. It's huge. So, hey, I think...
So that was first... Can I wrap that part up?
Sure, go ahead.
First Fix Your Message. That was the name of the book. First Fix Your Message, Matthew David Anderson, on Amazon. But also, Matthew, if anybody did want to reach out, maybe with help in marketing with their business or whatever...
Yeah, you can find me online. My company is Zeggio Marketing Solutions, Zeggio, and the URL is Zeggio.io, not .com. There's a form on there where you can book a time to talk for about 30 minutes and kind of figure out what your marketing challenges are, and usually that's a pretty valuable call. And
I could just say that address slower.
Sure. https://zegg.io.
Yep. Zeggio. And we'll have those links below as well. So any of our listeners are interested, they can definitely contact you. And it is a must download for me. I'm looking forward to diving into your book and making some practical applications for our church and such.
Hey, and since I said that, Matthew, can we take me out to dinner tonight again downtown Austin?
All right. Well, hey, guys, that's a wrap. God bless you, and thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you for spending time to listen to today's podcast, the third and final in the series, Christ Commands Us to Be Wise as Serpents and Innocent as Doves. We hope you continue to tune in and don't drop out as we continue with conversations that make a difference in our lives. Until the next time, go out as God's ambassadors, commissioned to a world in need, in desperate need of the gospel. God bless.